Welcome back to another episode of Chats with Clark. I'm your host, Joe Clark. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. But you know, at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We like to get straight to the point. And the point today is my dear friend, Zach Cushion. Zach, thanks for being here. How are you doing today?
Doing well, Joe. How you doing?
Yeah, doing well, bro. I'm excited to have you on. Excited to hear what you have to say and just get to chat with you.
Of course. I can't wait, dude.
Zach, I think I've known you for like 12 years, maybe.
That about seems right? Like forever.
It seems like forever. Right?
Would it be? It had to be like St. Joe's, right?
Absolutely, all the way back to grade school.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Like it was just a typical situation. Like Zach, and I would play. Yeah.
What, basketball?
Basketball, baseball.
Baseball. Oh, did you play on the Vikings too?
Played on the Vikings, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. You did too, right?
Yeah.
I thought so. I thought I remember that.
That's where it started, bro.
That's where it started. So all the way back. So Zach and I have known each other for a long time, and Zach's just one of these really great dudes, awesome attitude, just a great head on his shoulders, loves people too. So he's a real pleasure to have on here, and I'm happy that he's here. Zach, why don't you give us a little bit of your quick overview of your story real quick before we dive into it?
Oh, my story. That's a lot. So I'm a 22-year-old college guy going into my fifth year of university. Basically, I love to do anything with people, love to help people out. I don't know if anyone knows who Roman Atwood is, but I wear a smile more wristband every single day. And I just think it's a good attitude. Even if you're having a bad day, if you can just smile through it, then the next day is going to be better. So it's kind of like, that's my attitude when I take it anywhere in life. It's just smile through the pain, you know, because it always gets better.
Always gets better.
Always.
Zach, you know, it's funny. You give me a very natural lead into something that's not so funny at all. So we both work for Strongsville, and unfortunately, Strongsville has been hit recently in the last several years of a couple tragedies where two young girls and unrelated events both passed away from fluke accidents, really. So Kaylee Mayer and Allie Sidlowski, both their families are in our prayers and our thoughts, but specifically, Zach, you took the initiatives when both Kaylee passed a couple years ago and then when Allie passed in the last couple months here about to make wristbands, right? And that you were going to donate the profits to either their organizations or to their families and those sorts of things. But what give us a little bit of your insight. Give us like maybe your thoughts. You're such a community-driven dude. And I think you're a real like figurehead in the Strongsville community, especially during those really trying times. Is there something you could talk about and maybe let us know what's going on in your head and in your heart when you're doing these things?
Yeah. So when Kaylee passed away, it was the summer after our senior year when we were going to our first year of college. And I just remember because like I was closer with Kaylee, I think. I was both like, it's like a weird, like, I know both of them, like, we're both friendly, like, I've talked to them way more than a handful of times, like, friends with people in their friend groups, kind of like, we were friends, 100%, I would say that, but I was, like, on that cusp, if that makes sense.
Sure.
And I just felt like I was in that place where I don't want to have, like, their dearest friends like scrambling to make something for other people or even just like a random person kind of just like making stuff for her. And I just felt like or Kaylee or Allie. And I just felt like I was in that position where it just made sense for me to make bracelets. Cause like people were making t-shirts for both of them. And other stuff like that. Obviously there was the GoFundMes and all the scholarship funds and stuff like that for both of them. But I just feel like the bracelet's easy to wear every single day. The blue ones for Kaylee, because she had beautiful blue eyes. And Allie is the red one. And I put three on Allie's because that was her number growing up. And then there's three hearts as well because there's three sisters, Allie, Katie, and Coley. And the red for Cincy that she played soccer there. And I just feel like I was in the right position to do that. So her closest friends wouldn't have to like worry in that case of trying to figure out something, or just so they could have something to wear to remember every single day. That's basically.
Yeah. It's such a generous heart. It's crazy to kind of put yourself back in the situations, like you're saying, where you had numerous conversations. I actually didn't know Keely at all. And I, to say I knew Allie would be really a stretch. Like, I knew her, but not well. Yeah. But what's kind of crazy about it, or kind of creepy, is to look back. Like, I remember I was at a Strongsville football game our senior year of high school. And so I was there and I was catching up with Megan Patrick. So shout out her too, to your friend Allie's. And Allie came up to her. And then, so like, she was introduced to me then. And the three of us were kind of shooting the breeze. And like, the second I heard this, it's weird. Like, I just was replaying that in my head. And so I couldn't imagine. And that's one instance, right? That's one instance where I had an in-depth conversation with Allie in that case. So I couldn't imagine being someone who is replaying a plethora of conversations, or someone like these dear people that you're talking about, who you didn't want to have to make the risk, and that have so many experiences with this person that are being rehashed and replayed in their heads. Like, I think that you saw, or you found a great need, and you did really everything that you possibly could to alleviate and also raise awareness. So hats off to you. Yeah. And how did both of those go? How were they received? Like, what was kind of your, for lack of a better phrase, marketing tactic to let people know, like, hey, like, I'm doing this? And then obviously you're taking the back seat.
Yeah. So I just kind of put it out on Twitter saying, like, hey, reach out to me if you guys want a wristband. Like, they're going to be $3 each. All the money's going to go to the families. For Kaylee, I ordered 500-600 of them. And I think I only have 2 left, which is kind of crazy.
Wow.
And I ordered 1,000 for Allie. And I still have about 500 left. So, like, if anyone needs one, reach out to me. You don't have to pay me if you don't want to. But they are $3. The money will go to the family or to the fund or whatever. So I just kind of just tweeted out. I put it on my Instagram. People reached out to me, and I just had people come pick them up. And that was that.
Yeah. That's awesome. Have you gotten to talk to either of the families too?
With Allie, I went to her wake at the soccer field, and it seemed like 1,000 people there.
Oh yeah.
They actually had to shut down the line to talk to the family. And my mom is actually really good friends with Allie's aunt.
Okay.
So like, that's also a different connection. But yeah, I went there. I saw a lot of people there, and I put the tweet out after that, because I was actually going to take like the very back seat and not make wristbands for this and let someone else do it. But when I went to the wake and just seeing that there's just so much community behind Allie, and just, you know, just remembering how bright she really was as a person. I tweeted out later that night that I was making them, and obviously I got a good response. I had like half of them, 500 were bought. So like, that's insane to me. But yeah. And then with Kaylee's parents, I never met her parents until I handed them the money. I met Mr. Mayor there. He was there. He was fixing up his car. And I walked up and I was like, you don't know me, but I have money for you and more wristbands. I sold these for your daughter. And he looked at me and he gave me a hug and he said, I have something for you, or I have something to show you. And he took me into the basement and he showed me a picture of a race car driver wearing one of Kaylee's bracelets. And I started tearing up there. I was, man, this is crazy. I was like, this is bigger than me just making wristbands, you know? Like, I never thought of it as like a big thing, you know?
Sure.
It was just kind of like a thing to do so people can remember Kaylee and Allie.
Yeah.
So.
Dang, dude, that's, I'm like kind of struck on that too. I couldn't even imagine like being that dad, and then you, and I mean, what a raw set of emotions that you're experiencing there. Like, you come up and you're like, yeah, okay, so I gotta introduce myself to this guy. And then
I was like, I've never met you.
Yeah. And like, I've done this really like testimony to, it's like a tribute to his daughter. So that's, mm-hmm. that's powerful. That's cool that the race car driver had it too.
I know. I don't know how he got it, but
it's fun. You know, it's like that butterfly effect. Awesome. It just keeps going out. That's what's cool about the wristband. Mm-hmm. Like I was actually down at Ohio State a couple weekends ago, and that I had seen them on someone that was at the bar, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I saw the AS. It was Allie's, yeah. But yeah, I'm just like, oh my God, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy, man.
It is crazy. It's one of those things that you never understand.
You'll never understand it. And I still don't believe it, even as like, I guess you could just put me as an outsider too. And like, just, I still can't believe it. And cause it's like, you could barely know these two individuals, but they would affect your life in a positive way as soon as you would talk to them, because mm-hmm. they're just like shining stars, you know? So it's like, I feel like that's also why I felt like I needed to do this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Really great job on that, Zach. Really great job. It's again, truly a testimony to the heart that you have, and a great tribute to both of them and their families. So really, hats off to you, man. Hats off. Like, quite literally hats off. But
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah. And Zach, this is kind of an unfair question, but what do you think you learned about, or how did your perspective change towards maybe death as a whole, or death as what it is, as a result of those two events?
Let me think. I feel like obviously the short answer is life short, right?
Sure.
That's easy. But like, I feel like you learn that without death. Like even like through my college experience, like I'm on my fifth year, all my friends left. Like what? I feel like I was just a freshman in
high school. Absolutely. So true.
Like it's been almost 9 years since my first class in high school. And I felt like I was just graduating high school, you know? Like that's obviously the answer of life short. But I feel like if you look a little bit deeper than that, it's more of not of what you do in life, but how you use your life to affect other people. And I feel like, obviously I said before I needed to do this, but Allie and Kaylee, they were just super bright. Like Kaylee obviously wanted to be a doctor. Like that was her thing. And she was only freshly 16, right? Yeah. And that was, she was set on wanting to be a doctor, which is like, you know, obviously one of the most noble professions ever, right?
Right.
And Allie, I don't know what she wanted to do, but I know that her coach spoke about her, and like even her just being injured all through her college experience, she was always just a super bright teammate, always helping people out, making sure that they were doing the right thing and stuff like that. So it's like you kind of just learn that even if your life is short, like you can make a drastic change, like a butterfly effect.
Yeah.
One way.
Yeah, that's awesome. The ripples that we leave in the water they go on forever, even if we just make it in our one little spot where we are at that time. And that's kind of what we were talking about with those wristbands, bro. So that's, I see that, you know, we see that through your action. We see like how you can have that progression in your thought when you look back at this and you're like, wow, I did this. And like, wow, this is what happened. And you know what, even though life is short, which like you said, is definitely apparent through this and through other experiences of time, we can still make a huge difference. And that's awesome. That was both of them. That's you. So.
Exactly, bro.
Zach, you touched on different passions that the two of them had, and like Kaylee with the doctor thing. What do you think your end game is? What do you think you want to do? What's the calling for Zach Cushion?
The calling in broad terms is just to help people as much as I can. I started off college wanting to be a teacher. I'm very indecisive when it comes to my life. But I want to be a teacher right away and help people, be a high school math teacher, a coach. Obviously that's changed as I switched to finance, and then I switched to accounting, and then now I'm going to be management information systems and business analytics. So obviously they're all pretty much different, but all have the same end goal of helping people in the long run.
Totally.
I like numbers. a lot of people call me Rain Man and that case. But love numbers, anything with numbers, helping people. I still want to end up coaching as well.
I could see that for you. Just throwing that out there.
High school and above. I appreciate that. I feel like that would just be so much fun. I feel like I have a lot of knowledge that not a lot of people have to help people further in life and just be better people. So those are my passions for sure. But yeah, wherever the road takes me, it'll take me.
Wherever the road takes you, yeah. I see you have a Dogecoin little t-shirt, t-shirt on there. What can you tell us about Dogecoin and your investing experience or lack thereof or whatever?
Yeah, so I feel like I'm pretty much new, but I feel like I know more than the almost average investor.
Okay.
I definitely told all my roommates in college to buy Dogecoin when it was at 1.6 pennies.
No way.
Yeah, it's right now it's at 19 cents. It hit 72 cents, which is 150,000% increase, I think.
Did anyone listen to you or what?
Yeah, my buddy actually put a dollar into it and he made 50.
This
is crazy.
It's going with me.
That's a crazy investment. But yeah. Doge for sure, I think it's more than a meme now. It's kind of getting shelled out, but a lot of people are taking it as payments, which is pretty cool. I think it's 19 cents I checked. I think it'll hit $5 one day, but it'll probably take about 8-10 years to do that.
Wow.
Just like I think Bitcoin is going to hit over 100,000 this year, and that's at 30,000.
Okay.
So those are just some of my thoughts, but
yeah. Are you studying types of things that are kind of quantifying your thoughts? Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been watching YouTube, reading some stuff, trying to figure out charts and, you know, spending some money to lose it just so I can learn or make it so I can learn stuff like that. But I feel like that's pretty fun. I don't know. I feel like nowadays it's just so much easier to invest in stuff, even with like Robinhood, even though they kind of stuck. But there's just so many different investing apps and all that stuff. And even with like obviously Doge, like AMC, GameStop, like the meme stock, like stocks and stuff. I feel like it just got so many young people to come and try and figure it out. A lot of people lost a lot of money. A lot of people made a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I was one of those people that saw GameStop being shorted and it went up, whatever, like $4 to 500 or whatever it was. And that kind of caught my interest. I was like, somebody bought that $4 and made $496 on that.
Yes.
And I was like, that's pretty cool. I feel like that would just be interesting. And it's always nice to have a different path of income other than just a job. So,
man, there's a lot of wisdom in there. Like I keep having myself like have a bunch of questions pop in. Like the first thing is, do you think that you have to, I got two questions for you. I'm just gonna throw them out there because my brain, bro. So first thing is, do you think you have to lose in anything, but in investing in anything in order to learn how to grow and like how to overcome? That's my first question. So you can chew on that while I throw this one at you too. Do you actually think that like all of this, all these memes, like you said, are always going to hold their value? Like these NFTs and that whole idea is all real new, but also booming right now. Do you think that as the dollar, compared to the dollar, that it's going to uphold its value, or what do you think it will do?
So your first question, what was your first question?
I'm just curious, like, well, we'll talk about it later, but go ahead with the investing. Like, do you think that Doge and like Bitcoin, all these non-backed entities are going to potentially one day be like another dollar?
Yes. And I hate cash money. So,
really?
Yeah. So, where do I start? So, yes, I think crypto and these NFTs and like meme driven stocks and stuff are still going to be here in 25 years. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I just think the community is too strong. And I think, you know, in 25 years, that's going to be us. Right?
Right.
And we're the people that are doing this meme stuff. So And I think, because like even like news outlets and stuff like that, they bash Doge when it drops, they bash GameStop when it drops, they bash AMC, like all these new like meme things, like even Wish now is another one, which is like actually a real competitor to Amazon. I think that Amazon stock is $3,000, and I think Wish could easily be $1,000 stock, and it's at $10. Because they're like $5 billion revenue a year. They have really fast shipping. They say it's usually like a week to 2 weeks, but it usually comes in about 3 to 5. So it's like super fast shipping too.
Yeah.
They're like a newer company. And that's being like memed and shorted and all that fun stuff. But I think the whole value, crypto is definitely going to be an interesting one because sure. The value is always changing. So that would be interesting if like people are going to be like, hey, it's one Bitcoin to buy this, like no matter what the price is, or are they going to be like, all right, we'll charge you 1.7 Bitcoins because that's the price now. Like that would be interesting for sure. But even like with cash, like cash only has a value because we say it has a value, like it never changes. I mean, obviously it does, like a dollar now is worth way less than it did 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. But like it only has value because we say it has value. $1 is $1, $20 is $20. And it's like with crypto, people have control of that, not the government who can print $1 million in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Like in Bitcoin, it's all about people. If we want it to be $200,000, we can do that.
Why can't you? There's something I don't understand. Like, why can't you just make more? Okay. So, like, let's say there's, I know this is wrong, but for the conversation's sake, let's say there are 10 Bitcoin in the entire whatever pool.
There's 21 million, I think.
Okay. Is that what it is? Yeah, so, why can't you, like, just some guy on a computer say, okay, now there's 25 million and add 4 more million?
I think only 19 million have been mined. You like mine for them in these industrial computers that involve fossil fuels and stuff like that. It's really bad for the earth. That's why Elon stopped accepting it for Tesla.
Okay.
I don't know anything about the mining or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure because it's a centralized, right? It's a centralized currency. I think that's what it is. So it's like there's a finite amount. Like you can't make any more. Like that's just like how it is. There's 21 million in the world. Like Dogecoin, there's like 180 trillion or something like that. That's why it's only 19 cents. But yeah, I don't know. That's just kind of like how it is.
It's kind of so different because like these numbers are huge. We're not used to that. You know what I mean? Like we have a dollar bill. You know what I'm saying? We have
dollar will be a dollar forever. Yeah.
And like to toy around with numbers like Dogecoin, like you just said, trillions. I mean, people like It's like the national debt, dude. You can't even comprehend how big the number is. It's so friggin' big that I don't even know what's going on. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm always thinking with Dogecoin. I'm like, what is happening? This number is gargantuan.
Yeah, it's like the difference between a million and a billion is like 33 years. So it's like a million seconds between a billion seconds. I think it's like 33 years. That's like the difference. So it's like thinking of like Jeff Bezos has what was it, like $200 billion? Like, that's nuts.
Is that what it is?
Jeez, man. I think it's 200,
300, 200? I don't know.
It's still an ungodly amount of money.
I'm going to ask you right now. What is Jeff Bezos' net worth? Yeah, $212.4 billion as of 2021, so this year.
That's nuts.
Jeez, man.
Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah. The picture for him on Google is him with, like, a palm tree.
Kind of funny. Of course it is.
I know. Like,
of course. Yeah,
it's definitely not him in the factory. So, and then the second question I have for you, dude. I have to know this because you're learning right now. You're on your fifth year of schooling. You've had like 14 different majors, and you're getting
maybe 15. I don't know.
Yeah, you might change it again. Who knows? I'm just playing with you. But do you think you have to like struggle or put it into your investing terms, do you think you have to lose in order to eventually gain? Do you think you have to fail in order to succeed, basically? Do you think that that's a necessary thing? And kind of explain that to us. What do you think?
I don't think it's necessary to lose to learn. I feel like you can learn a lot by winning, but I feel like you can learn a lot more by losing. Because I feel like, you know, even with sports and stuff, like if you're winning every single game, like why, you're not going to change anything. Obviously, you're doing everything perfect. But if you lose, you see all your flaws. So like with investing, like if I were making money on these stocks every single day, why would I change that? It's not broken. Like as soon as I do that same thing and I lose half of my money, then obviously you're going to learn a lot.
Okay.
And like you're going to figure out things. So I feel like it's not necessary to lose to learn. But I feel like failing helps you learn a lot more. Because even like, you know, Michael Jordan said it. He's missed, what is it? He's missed like almost 60% of game winners or something like that, but they only talk about the ones he's made.
That's fascinating. He's got a freak mindset too.
I know. And he's like crazy. Even like Kobe, rest in peace, you know, like it was always just like him failing over and over again, but that's why he's always going to outwork people.
Yeah. Right. All those stories about him are actually truly bonkers. That guy was a workhorse.
Nuts.
It's funny.
Absolutely nuts.
I was thinking about that. Like LeBron, that dude, like, I mean, obviously he had like hardships outside of basketball and stuff, and I'm sure he worked hard, but I just mean like naturally he was a specimen. I mean, this dude's always been incredible, you know, from his high school days. Everyone knew this guy was going pro and going to be absolutely incredible, which
he has been.
So I always wondered, like, is the question for me always comes back to, is failure really a great teacher, or does it just show how big the gap is between, or does it just show how large of a gap there is for improvement? Because, and like, do we learn a lot because we fail, or do we actually learn a lot because there's so much room to grow? Like, that's kind of my real question. Like LeBron losing, is the losing actually teaching him, or is it because he's got so little to work on to be the amazing player that he is? And then like, why, I don't know. Like, it's a minimal difference, but it's something that I was thinking about with it.
Yeah, so I feel like you definitely learn from failure. I feel like it just shows a gap too, in a way, but because obviously you can't lose if you do something perfectly. So obviously there's a flaw, right?
Right.
So then you can learn that flaw and obviously get more to perfection. But like, obviously you'll never do anything perfect in your entire life.
No.
So like, there's always gonna be something to work on. So like, obviously there's a mindset of you're never going to be content. And I feel like that could be exhausting. Like, you know, there's always something to fix. Like, I'm never going to reach that kind of mindset. And I feel like that's exhausting. And I could just tear you apart inside. Or you can be like, hey, here's a small goal. I met it. Let's enjoy it and learn with the process, and then go to my next one and next one. And eventually, you know, you'll still be content along the way. But like, if you're always like, all right, I reached this goal, what's the next one? You're not even enjoying it, you know?
Yeah. Okay. You have to celebrate.
You're not learning at all. Yeah, exactly.
Do you set goals for yourself, Zach?
Do I set goals? Sometimes, not all the time. No. Because I feel like, not all the time. No. I'm a free spirit. I don't know. I feel like that's kind of lame, but like, I just kind of want to enjoy like my life. And I feel like I'm getting better at that. Like there's times, obviously there's been very dark times in my mindset and stuff like that, but you know, it's been hard to do things, everything like that. So it's kind of like me just going back to being, I don't know, lack of a better term, happy, I guess, you know,
okay,
if that makes sense. And I feel like just working on being happy every single day instead of being happy for life. I feel like that's just like how I'm living, you know, enjoying every day, even like going back to, you know, our dear friends passing away, you know, so just taking every day head on.
That's all you can do. Cause that's what you're given. So it's like, I always feel that way too. It's like, we're so future driven. It's like, bro, you don't even know if you have a future. Like what? Like if you're not enjoying now, and if you're not enjoying whatever you're doing, like whether it's failing, whether it's succeeding, whether it's whatever you call it and dictate it to be, then I mean, I don't know. What are you doing? Like, why are you doing it?
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, obviously the future is a cool thing because there's so many opportunities out there that you just don't know of, but it's also like a void. Like, you don't know what's out there.
Right.
Like, your future could be you, I don't know, doing not what your passion was at all and working, like, maybe your passion was, you know, obviously doing podcasts, doing YouTube, making your own clothing brand, you know, selling stocks, being a video game player, you know, or a streamer or stuff like that. And then you're working a 9-to-5 for a sales company. Like, obviously, yeah. If you knew that, that'd be so scary, you know, like, yeah. And you're like, oh, I hate sales and stuff like that. Obviously, not sales is a bad thing, but like, some people obviously love to do that. But like, you know, working a 9-to-5 instead of doing your passion, like, if you knew your future was not you doing your passion, like, you couldn't enjoy the present.
No, never, because you'd be so hell bent that you were supposed to be doing something else.
Yeah, literally. So why not try and do your passion now, enjoy your time now, so when in the future, when you're, if you're doing that boring 9-to-5, then you're content with what you did before and you're celebrated all that stuff before then.
I was like, you're working like a 8:30, 9-to-5 right now. Do you really think it is boring? Or?
Of course, it's 9-to-5. Yeah. You know, like, okay. You get home, you're eating dinner, and it's time for bed.
Because
you're exhausted, you know, because you've been staring at computer screens, you've been, you know, talking to people all day. Like, it's exhausting. It is obviously exhausting. You're making money, but like, you can only spend it on the weekends, right?
Yeah, or on the dinner that you're eating. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do then to kind of escape the monotony of that 9-to-5?
Yeah, so obviously I play a lot of video games.
I see the streaming chair behind you.
So I play a lot of video games. I play a dumb amount of basketball. I probably play pretty much every single day. Exactly, I agree. Football is the best to watch, though, which is weird because I love playing basketball. But yeah, even like learning just new traits and stuff like that. Like, obviously we talked about the investing and stuff, like learning that stuff or just, you know, reading, listening to different audiobooks, podcasts, obviously this one because I'm on it. So it's going to be great. But yeah, you know, just doing different stuff, just keep the mind busy, you know, anything that can help me learn, even watching things that won't really help me learn. But just keep the mind busy, you know, keep the heart happy.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, you got to do all those things. Like, you can't just constantly be grinding on learning stocks. If you know what I mean? You got to kick back. You got to watch a movie. You got to play games and all that kind of stuff. All right. So let's talk video games and let's talk about that market and just kind of that niche, right? So what are you playing now? What's on your, are you a PlayStation guy or an Xbox guy? Like, what are you?
All right. So I started Game Boy, right?
Okay, of course.
Game Boy Advance, DS, like Pokemon.
Absolutely.
There's Animal Crossing. Switch, you know, GameCube came out, playing a lot of Gauntlet, like Mario stuff. And then PS3 or PS2 came out. PS2 and then PS3 and then Xbox 360 and then PS4. Xbox 360 is the most superior gaming system of all time. I mean
the PS3 had a Blu-ray player. If you wanted to do anything else with your system, then I don't know about that, but
yeah, but like I had a PS3 too and it gave me, or PS3 and it gave me the Amber Light of Death, so I've just hated it ever since.
Oh man, I forgot.
Yeah, it was right when Black Ops 1 came out and I was grinding that game, dude. I like prestige 2 times in a week and Amber Light of Death, couldn't play at all.
No.
Like, oh, all right, nice.
You're like, and that was when, like, all, like, the,
yeah, and that was when like all like the Lizard Squad stuff was going on. So they just kept shutting down like the Sony networks and stuff like that. And obviously their online was free too, so that's why it was a pretty good system.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, but I play like PS4. Obviously the PS5 is out now, but I have a PC that I play on instead. But there hasn't been a lot of good games out. I've been Warzone's a good one. I still play Fortnite, even though it's a child's game. Play a lot of Minecraft. That's probably one of the best games to ever play. You just escape. You'll start playing after you eat dinner. Oh, huge. You'll start playing after dinner and you'll realize it's 3 a.m. You're like, well, I should probably go to bed.
Oh my God, that's funny.
You just get lost in that thing. It's kind of like Skyrim and stuff. Like, obviously, you roam the world, stuff like that. But
yeah, you're your own dictator.
But like... yeah, I've been playing Minecraft mostly. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's cool. That's what my cousins and I play some Fortnite here and there, and it's always a good time. And anytime you get to compete, hang out with some friends, even though you're just chatting over a system, it's a cool time. I think it's mostly like a social experiment more than it is anything else, I swear to you.
Literally, yeah. And it's even like younger kids are playing video games with their friends and all that stuff. But like, even to adults, it's like when we hung out with friends, we would go outside, we'd run around the neighborhood, we would do all stuff, ride bikes, like all that stuff. But it's like, it's so easy that I can, you know, click a button, I can talk to 40 of my friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
And do something that we all enjoy. And like, we can all compete together to win games or do whatever in the video game, right? So it's like, you are connected very much, even though all these people are saying we're like the most disconnected, you know, generation of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, maybe disconnected physically, like, I don't know. Oh, pardon me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I feel like it's always nice. It's always nice to get, you know, that physical interaction and be around people, obviously. But like, even I was talking with my mom the other day, and she was talking about class reunions and like how if you went like back in their time, which they're not old, but, you know, older than us, like their 10-year like anniversary for their class reunion, like high school or whatever, they would actually go and talk to people and see what they were doing. But like with us, we open our phone and we can see exactly what everyone's doing. Like, yeah, we go on LinkedIn, true. We can see where everyone is working. We go on Instagram, we see where everyone's been. Twitter, we see what everyone's thinking. You know, even like TikTok, we see what people like to do in their free time. YouTube, like, and stuff like that. So it's like, what's the point of going to a class reunion to talk to these people to see how their life's doing when you literally see it all the time on your phone?
That is very interesting.
So it's like, it's weird, bro. Like, we're so connected that it's like, I feel like it's not good for us. We know too much, bro.
Yeah, like everyone knows everyone else's business. It's weird. And then you're like a hermit. Like, if you don't post something for a couple months, people are like, oh, what's wrong with him? It's like, what do you mean? There's nothing wrong. Like, I just didn't post anything.
Yeah, you don't post for a little bit. They're like, oh, this kid doesn't post. Or like, he's so boring. You don't go hang out with your friends the one time. Yeah, like you're so boring. You don't go hang out with your friends one time. And they're kind of like, what's this kid doing? Like, this is so weird. Like, they're not posting anything. Like, what is this? And they're like, you know, spazzes.
How about the locations? Like, everyone shares locations, which, like, dude, like, probably 25 people have my location. It is the weirdest thing in the world. It is so weird.
I love it.
Really? Like, why?
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of times where it's like, or you're calling someone and I'm like, okay, why? Like, why isn't this person answering? Like, if you had planned or something, like if you were supposed to be getting in touch with this person, not like you're just calling to say, hey, like, cause then it's like, yeah, it's weird. But like, if you had plans and you're trying to find out what's going on, that's helpful. Or like we at school, we'd all go to a bunch of different house parties and it's like, all right, which house is everyone starting? Where is everyone starting? You could just look and that's where it's helpful. But I still think it's creepy, dude.
Yeah, no, it's definitely weird because like, I have a lot of people that have my like location, but I mean, I don't go very far, but like even with like college and stuff like that, they're like, hey, just come here to this house, and I had no idea what the house was. You click the location, you can go instead of them trying to send it to you, or even like if someone's going to come pick me up or if I'm picking somebody up, they're at their house, boom, instantly navigation right there.
Yeah,
or I can see how far they are to know like when to, you know, leave my home. But like, that's cool. But like someone could be looking at my location right now.
Yeah, like that's weird.
Yeah, like that's so weird. Maybe like, hey, what's Zach doing? Oh, he's at his house. Cool.
Like, I think it creates like such an entitled thing. Like, first of all, like, who are you that everyone cares about your location? like, right. And then, but also like more so what I mean, and like to the entitled thing is like, why does everyone think that they should or need to, or have to, or whatever, need to know this information? Like what? Why do we feel like we have to have that?
Yeah. Like my main purpose was for like my college friends, for all of us to have it in case someone gets lost.
Honest.
Cause you know, those nights get hazy sometimes. So, you know, if they're like, their phone is in the ditch, like, you know, we should probably go see what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right. Or if like, you know, if they're at a house and we're kind of like, oh, okay, they're there, they're probably going to stay there. Like that's okay. You know?
True.
So we know everyone's okay and accounted for. I feel like that's really nice to have. But other than that, it's just, it's weird.
It really helps when you lose something like your phone, like you're saying, in a ditch and stuff. Like the amount of times, like my mom will set her phone. My mom's a big set her phone down somewhere person. So she's always like, I can't find my phone. And I'm like, well, let's just make sure it's here before we start calling it, you know, because it used to be you just call it. And then if you didn't hear it, it's like, oh, then you had to go on the goose hunt or the goose chase or whatever. And then now it's like, all right, well, let me check the location. And if it's not at home, then we're in for a long night.
Exactly. When you're just hunting for it, it's just a mess.
It is. It's a witch hunt. It absolutely is a witch hunt.
It is.
Do you think that, like, what do you think are some of the ramifications of all this information being out there so easily? Really, like, about personal stuff. Like, it's really nice. I think we can see all the benefits and the harms of, like, knowing that the earth isn't flat kind of thing. But more so, like, on a personal level, what do you think are some of the advantages and what are some of the disadvantages or the ramifications of it?
Man, I don't know. I think it's just funny.
You think it's funny? All right.
I think it's funny because it's like, because like obviously Facebook and like a bunch of different companies have gotten in trouble with selling our information, and then like obviously now like you can do that. That's how Facebook makes like most of its money, is selling off the information that we have for advertisements and all that stuff. Like obviously, like your microphone and stuff is on your phone all the time and stuff like that. So it's like your like Instagram feed, when you get ads, like it targets what you've searched, what you've talked about. Like that's really cool, but it's super real. It's like super weird because like they're listening to you, they're seeing what you're typing, and like all that stuff just to target you to buy something or know something about you. Or like maybe you listen to a lot of music, you've been typing about all this stuff, and you get an ad for a festival. Maybe it's just crazy.
It is crazy,
but it's fun. I think it's really funny because like people spaz out about it, but like they've been doing it for so long and nothing has really come about it. So it's like, why worry about it? Like if you really have something that bad to hide, you should probably worry about yourself realistically.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, obviously I don't want everyone to know everything that I do. Right. Or anything like, or know everything about me. Right. That's just weird. But like,
it is weird.
In the same side, I don't really care. It's like,
I agree. There's,
they already know so much about me. So it's like, yeah, like all the stuff I've searched, everything that, you know, I've looked up on Instagram, everything I've liked, everything I've retweeted, everything I've posted is out there somewhere. Right.
It's kind of helpful. I mean, in some ways, I don't know. I don't hate it. It's funny. Like this wallet, I wanted a thin wallet because my wallet was kind of, I don't know, it was kind of honky, and I'm like, I don't like carrying this thing around. And it was honky for reasons other than being loaded, unfortunately. But but I was like, dude, I gotta find a thin wallet. So I was just like browsing, I'm looking online like we do, and looking for a thin wallet. Yeah. And I didn't find anything. And then the next day on Instagram, all of the ads were wallets, and that's how I found it. That's, I ended up getting one of the ads. It was perfect. And there it is. Yeah. There's the wallet. It's hanging tough like 2 years later. So
that's what I'm saying, dude. Like I get ads for like clothing all the time, because I have like a lot of smile more stuff, and a lot of my ads target like that happiness kind of thing. Like that, have you seen the Happiness Project?
I don't think so. What is that?
I don't know. It's just like, I think it's just, I think some of it goes towards different charities and stuff like that. I don't know if it's for like mental health or anything like that, but it's like Happiness Project. It's honestly super expensive. It's like $170 for a soul trip. But I always get ads for that. And I got an ad for something that said human or humankind be both. And like, that's I cool. bought that. That was pretty cool. But it's like, it's just like everything's targeted.
So targeted.
But like, it helps me. Like sometimes I go on Instagram just to see an ad.
You're like, forget the content, bro. Like, I want the ad. Like, you go on your Instagram preferences and you're like, all ads. It's just like, add more ads.
Ad.
You're the only guy that's putting that into their feedback. Caution, you're
I don't care what everyone else is doing. Like, literally, I'm doing all the surveys and all that stuff.
You're like, yes, more ads. Everyone's like, I can't stand this guy.
Like, I love this.
Exactly. What's the Smile More stuff? Tell us a little bit about that. Like, what is this? Who is Smile More? I mean, I think we should all smile more. I like the message, but I hope that that's what it means.
Yeah. No, literally, it's Smile More. It's simple. It's what it means. Just smile more. It's simple as that. But it's by a guy. His name is Roman Atwood. He's been in the YouTube community for 10 plus years now. He did like pranks and social experiments, which is kind of a hazy subject on YouTube. Because everyone did like fake ones and stuff like that. But then he started vlogging and then he made Smile More. And he's always like, kind of like how Logic, the rapper, is peace, love, and positivity.
Yeah.
He's kind of like that kind of thing. And he always talks about like, even like I said before, like if you're having a bad day or whatever, like even if you just try and smile, like try not to complain in the day. Like it's so hard because we're just built to be like, negative. So like just trying to smile through that tough time, trying to smile through something that's not going your way, at the end it will make the outcome that much brighter because you kind of got through it and you didn't just complain about it the whole time.
Amen, bro, amen.
Right. And that's kind of what he does. Like he makes like daily vlogs and stuff like that, but he has his brand and he's been through a lot of lawsuits with like Walmart and stuff like that because they make Smile More stuff and he has a patent on it and all that stuff. So, for a trademark. But that's really how it is. And I just think it's a pretty good message and I feel like he portrayed it pretty well. So I was like, yeah, why not?
You know? Right. No, that's totally cool. Yeah. Anytime that you can get people to like, just kind of bask in their happiness a little bit and kind of encourage it and do any of those sorts of things, I think it's a great opportunity. That's kind of what I try and do with this. And I love to talk about people's mindsets. And I hope that eventually someone listens or anytime that we put stuff out there that people can share their stories and share what their thoughts are, because I think really that's what brings us all together is like just the idea that we all have thousands upon thousands of stories and whether or not we feel like we can share them is entirely debatable, but that's essentially this, right? You provide a platform and we talk about it and then we come up with different mindsets from it that we can take into our own lives. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Literally, dude. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, that's great. So Smile More. I'm going to have to check that out. Roman Atwood, you said. Yeah, I'm really not that familiar. Roman Atwood. So.
Yeah, I think it's like romanatwood.com.
Nice. That's what it is. I don't know if I would have found like that. So thanks for
coming. It's easy. Yeah, it's like a Smile More story or something. That's what it calls it.
Yeah.
But it's also like, it's just his family. So it's like, it's benefiting him. Obviously he's a multimillionaire, right? But you're not giving your money to, you know, this multi-trillion dollar company that's has a smile, like Nike or something like that. So if like you're into that, like it's a good thing. You're benefiting a family.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. He worked it up. It's just him. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Zach, kind of like in the same vein, you're a big advocate for raising awareness of mental health in men and women, really in anyone, but like I've seen it a bunch of times just on like your Instagram, on your stories or different things that you posted or different things that you posted. I think my audio just went weird. Did it cut out? Okay. Yeah. So I've just seen you raise awareness basically for different mental health things in, that are going on in men particularly, but also within women and just in general. Do you want to touch on that? Why is that important to you? Where do you find like the knowledge for these kinds of things? And do you have any words of wisdom or recommendations? Kind of give it to us. You know what I'm saying? Dive into it and let's hear what you have to say about it, Zay.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm very big into if you're going through something dark. I've definitely had my depressed days and like anxious days, and I feel like I still go through that a lot, but I feel like I learned a lot from myself. I think you should always try and talk to somebody, even if it's a professional or just an adult you trust, or even anybody you trust, really. But also don't try and put it on like one of your friends, like obviously everybody's going through shit. Oh, sorry, can I
Sure.
cuss?
Yeah, I mean, go for
Sorry
it
about
too. No.
that. Everyone's going through stuff, so it's like you don't want to pile your load on there or even make yourself feel like you're piling stuff on other people. So even like a professional, everyone has something they can help you out with, right? But there's obviously trained adults that do that as a profession. I've talked to my fair share of therapists. I personally hate it because I hate talking about myself.
Okay.
I don't know why. That's just how I am. Like, I hate talking about, like, with interviews, with job interviews and stuff like that. I absolutely hate it because I hate talking about myself. You have to fabricate yourself so much.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want to lie to you, right? Like, I know I'm going to give you 175%, but like, I'm not going to lie about what this job did for me, right?
Yeah.
But obviously, you have to do that. But, anyways, right? So I think you should always talk to somebody, try and figure out if it doesn't work. There's so many different outlets. Like there's self-help books, there's videos, like even just distracting your mind for a little bit, just kind of like looking inside, right? And just trying to figure out where you can help. 'Cause like, yeah, you can do a lot of comparing, like your rock bottom might be better than someone else's rock bottom, right? And that would just make you plummet through your rock bottom and it just becomes so much worse, right? So it's like everyone has their worst. Everyone, like, let me think, like to a 2-year-old, two or 3-year-old, right? Their goldfish dies. That's the end of the world, right? That doesn't
Totally.
mean,
That's the
like,
end of
yeah,
my
it's kind
world
of like a
still.
silly thing, but like to that 3-year-old, yeah, it's sad. Like, I lost my goldfish, right? Like, to that 3-year-old, maybe that's all they really knew, is that little thing swimming around a bowl, right? Yeah, it's a silly thing to be like really sad about, but that 3-year-old, it's the entire world. So it's like you looking into other people's perspective, you looking at yourself like, hey, like this really, really sucks for me. You might not understand that. You might think, hey, it's a silly thing, but like that sucks for me. That rock bottom is different than someone else's rock bottom, but they're both at the same playing field,
Yeah,
And I
no,
feel like
yeah.
I've kind of learned that because it's like, I've always tried to exert myself to help people out, and I felt like I never really tried to help myself out. I kind of was like, hey, like, yeah, I'm doing pretty bad, but like this person's worse. So let me, try and build them up. And they're kind of, like, I gave them a stepping stool in that case, and that kind of pushes me down, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah.
Not like obviously they don't know
No, I
that
get
they're
what you're
making it
saying. Yeah, it's
worse
like
for
you're
me,
putting yourself under it almost.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, bearing the weight for them kind of thing. So it's more of learning how to like, balance that and definitely talk to somebody. I hated it, but at least you learn that you hate it, and then you can do other things to help that out.
Sure. Yeah, you're gonna find your avenue that's advantageous for you and that kind of thing. Do you think here's I obviously you said you hate it, but there are theories out there that everyone should talk to like a therapist. Have you heard that and that kind of thing? What do you think about that? Do
I
you
agree.
think that you
I
agree?
agree.
Yeah. Just to find out if you like it or not and then
Yeah, I
say.
totally agree. You should go, because like obviously it helped me learn that I still hate talking about myself. But like obviously, like even in the few sessions that I have with the people that I talk to, like you learn valuable things, right? Like you're kind of forced to talk about yourself. So you kind of like putting your thoughts and like your emotions into words helps you just think about it. Like even if
Absolutely.
you weren't going to go talk to somebody, just writing it down and just seeing it on paper, and you're like, okay, this makes more sense. Or even just saying it out loud kind of helps you. So I feel like you should always talk to somebody, especially someone that's trained,
Yeah. Yeah, I was just curious your thoughts on that because I knew that that was a theory and I figured that was something valid that I would love to hear your perspective on. You know, what spurred my thought that way was kind of you're talking of a smile more and of talking about focusing on being happy every day. And then also I knew, of course, like I mentioned, your background of really supporting and uplifting that and making an awareness of those things. So is it correct me if I'm wrong, am I overstepping and saying that like some of the ways that you handle it now are by living out that smile more mentality, or by like, is that kind of the progression for you? Like you look at this and you're saying, okay, I'm going to go talk to someone. I'm going to focus on myself a little bit more so that I can focus on others too. And like you help other people out when you help yourself out. Like you can't help people fully if you yourself are in need of like some saving and some saving grace, basically. So if you can provide that for yourself, then you can provide that for others too at some point. And
yeah, 100%.
Then you live through that smile more, that positivity, that happiness, that every day is a gift kind of lifestyle.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, every day is a gift, like you said. I mean, it's an absolute miracle and basically impossible that we're here floating on this rock right now, right? like obviously when you're born, there's millions and millions of cells, right? And you're the one that got picked.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's like one in 3 trillion or something.
Yeah. So, you know, back to those numbers, bro. Like, that's crazy. Absolutely insane. Like, you're even here. So, like, every day can't be perfect. You'll have bad days. You'll have several bad days in a row. But, like, it's okay to have those bad days. It's just not okay to stay in those days, right? So obviously just trying to help yourself out. The smile more really helped me out. Anything really positive kind of helped me out. Just even the negative stuff helps you out. Like when we're talking about, you know, losing, failing, like those bad days help you learn, right?
They do.
Like, hey, this, like I'm having a bad day, but when I do this, it kind of helps me forget about it and I can carry on. Or even if it's like, you know, having a really bad day, like you like Dunkin' and you haven't had a Dunkin' coffee in a week and you're having a really bad day and you're like, hey, a Dunkin' coffee would be really nice. And you drink and you're like, this is amazing, right?
Yeah.
And it uplifts the
small joys.
Your mood. Yeah, just a small joys. Like we're talking about, you know, like learning that the small things can affect everything, like the butterfly effect, you know, a flap of a butterfly's wings can tilt the axis of the earth 1%. Right, and completely change the outcome of the earth. And I feel like that's something I fully believe in too. So it's like me, you know, doing those small things or just helping people out, it gives me joy. Mm-hmm. But I like what I've learned is that I just can't do that all the time. Because like if you do something to the max 24/7, you're just going to burn yourself out with anything you do. And you'll start not to like that. And if you don't like what you love to do anymore, then what are you going to do? And that's when you have your down spiral. So it's like, you know, just spacing things out, you know, enjoying what you enjoy, but not, you know, burning yourself out.
Yeah. Dude, that's so real. That's so real. I think burnout's a big thing that people are kind of grasping that right now. And I think it's probably because of this hustle mentality that's so prevalent right now. But bro, yeah. That is like one of the biggest things. If we just as people took care of ourselves a little bit more from that perspective, I think the world might be a little bit more happy-go-lucky. Yeah. Because people like you're not going to be on edge all the time. You're going to be healthier. I mean, my God, everyone's unhealthy. I feel so bad. It's like, why are we all unhealthy?
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Exactly, like, dude.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, everything affects everything. Like, so like, you know, go ahead.
Yeah. And so like, you know, we're talking about mental illness and stuff. And we talked about social media. And I think like social media is a big part of that in our everyday life currently. You know, cause like, I don't want to say a lot of adults don't believe that like these kids are depressed or anxious or, you know, people start not to believe that, you know, it seems like 90% of people are anxious or depressed or stuff like that. But it's like, you know, there's all these pressures, like our parents, they were, you know, married young, they were, you know, had kids young, they were, they had their jobs young, like some of them maybe didn't go to college, like, or maybe they're like forcing their kids to go to college. And that's a huge pressure because they didn't want to do that. But it's like, you know, and then you go on Instagram and you see all these influencers that are 19, 20, 21 years old, making millions of dollars doing this stuff, you know, driving the coolest cars, all this jewelry, these houses. And you're sitting here and you're like, wow, I'm 23 years old and this kid's 4 years younger than me with millions of dollars doing all this stuff, right? And like, what am I to that? So it's like, this social media has definitely caused a very big spike. And I feel like depression, anxiety, I feel like it's just not talked about enough. Like with that stuff, because it's like, even with mine, like obviously I follow influencers, but I don't follow influencers that just flex, right? I follow people that I actually want to follow, maybe that I'll learn something from, or even I just follow friends and stuff like that, because I don't have a lot of friends that are just going to start flexing. I hope they do. That'd be sick if my friends start flexing like that.
Yeah.
Because then I would be there for the ride, right? but I feel like that's a very big part of that stuff. I kind of rambled on there.
No, I think you're spot on, bro, because like it's just a highlight reel. And then the thing is, like, as social media becomes, I think it, social media doesn't have like a happy medium. Like you're either on there and it's totally oriented towards like self-growth, which is good, or it's totally focused towards the highlight reels, the everyone's on vacation. Like I swear to you, I think I have like five of my closest friends on vacation right now. I'm like, why did you all pick this week? You know what I'm saying? But it's like, it's just like literally one of those things. Like it's a highlight reel. So if once those two things kind of like calm down a little bit and maybe create this like nice cohesion of a little self-help, a little awareness thing here, and then a little bit of highlight reel, like that's life. That's a lot more realistic than like, I'm on vacation every week, or like, this is literally how you make your best self all the time. Like you need a little bit of a better, I think we all need a little bit of a better dynamic.
No, 100%. No, I agree with you there. And I feel like, you know, a lot of people say, you know, social media isn't real life. But like, me thinking about it, it is.
I think so
like
too.
These people actually did this stuff. Yeah, like they have the editing apps and stuff like that. Everyone looks better on Instagram because you can edit stuff and everything like that. But it's like, these people are actually doing this stuff. And I feel like in the back of your head, you kind of know that. Or you could be like, you know, this car is rented. These things are rented. They're not doing that. They just went here for the, you know, pictures and stuff like that, which, you know, people do that. But it's like, I feel like in the back of your mind, you're like, dang, I wish I could do that and get paid for it. Right. And I feel like that's just even, I feel like TikTok even blew it up even more with like all like the influencers making money, even like the Charli D'Amelios and stuff that have, I think it's like what, a billion followers or something.
Oh my gosh. Is that what it is?
I don't know what it is. I think it's like hundreds of millions or something on TikTok, like just dancing. Like, God. Like that's crazy. Or even like, you know, like Ninja with gaming.
Yeah, that was huge.
Like that dude was making $10 million a month gaming. Like, that's nuts. Like how do you not like sit there and kind of bash yourself like, hey, like I could have done this.
Right.
But you kind of have to look past that and be like, you know, this guy's doing it. You know, why can't I do it? Maybe you do it. Then I'm done. Right?
Yeah, you got to play that numbers game too, where it's because, man, you know how many streamers there are that aren't doing what Ninja's doing? Like, right place, right time. Fortnite was growing. And like all that kind of stuff is real. Like, right place, right time, all that jazz. But
always.
But you're right, though. I agree with you because who's to say that this stuff isn't happening? Or like, who's to say, like that's my biggest thing with anyone who, like a personal thing. If anyone is out there hustling to like start a business, to start their own whatever, like I just had Andor Creative on here, which is Geierman and Jared Anderson.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Yes, dude, they're just working their tails off and like they're just getting going. You know what I mean? Like they're just getting going time-wise. They've been working together for years, but Andor Creative is just getting going. Like, I'm all about that. Like you're out there, you're doing the thing. Like that is so cool to me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like post that on Instagram. You should. Like you're out there doing it. Yeah, same thing with people.
Exactly.
Like that mindset though, I apply like to anything. Like you went to the Golden Gate Bridge for vacation. Yeah, you were there. You saw it. Like, go ahead, post a picture.
Post it, dude.
Same thing. Like that's why I don't know. If we could find a nice balance between the Golden Gate Bridge 24/7 and the life is horrible, let's all make ourselves better content 24/7, we might get a nice dynamic. Like there is a happy medium. I believe that. And I think that would be really, really good for all of us. So
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, I think social media was originally made for, like, obviously it's originally made for you to share with people, but I feel like it was more meant for you to document, you know, especially with Instagram. And I feel like people kind of post there to impress people instead of, like, kind of document it. And I feel like if you go about just documenting your stuff, like, I post pictures, like my last post, I think it was like 5 months ago or something.
Yeah, wasn't it a bunch of photos of me and my friends? Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, me at school. And like, it was just a photo dump of just me and like, yeah, I appreciate you. And it was just like, you know, just all a bunch of pictures that I like. So I put it out there, right? Or it's like, you know, your friend, like whoever you're friends with, you post it, you know, stuff like that. It's kind of, I don't know. I use it more as like a documentation thing. Like, mm-hmm. I don't post a lot at all. Like, even for my stories, like, I just post music that I found or am listening to. That's all I really use it for.
Yeah, it's perfect. You're just sharing, yeah. Like, hey, like, I like this. Like, check it out. And
yeah, I like this. Like,
Snapchat memories is the best.
I love it.
It's my favorite. Like, I don't even use Snapchat to Snapchat people really, like, minimally, but. Mm-hmm. But the memories is like my favorite app because of the memories.
Dude, yeah, I'll take pictures and I'll just put them on my memories and I won't even post them anywhere.
Absolutely. I do that all the time too. Or like you send it to like
I just have them.
Yeah. Yes. Zach, did I lose you, boss?
You just cut out.
Okay, yeah, I was gonna say, you back? Okay,
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I mean, I can hear you. Okay. Yeah, you totally frozen. I was like, oh god, Zach. Yeah, love that app. Dude, you gotta check out 1 Second Every Day. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I saw your video.
Dude, awesome. It is like that's another one of my favorite apps. So basically, basic premise for anyone listening, you take a video every day, 1 second every day. I do mine for a second and a half length, the video, because I think it's a second's too short. Personal opinion. Some people do a second, some people do two, whatever you want. But I'm at a second and a half. And then at the end of a month, 2 months, however long you want. I do it year to year. I think that's the basic, like their thought is that you look at the year. So I do it birthday to birthday. So I can see my life at 20, 21, 22, 23, whatever. So I'll have that forever. And then I throw it up on YouTube. Like, that's sick. Like, Zach, you should do that, bro. You should do that.
I love that. I might have to.
You'd be good at it.
It's 1 second a day.
Yeah. 1 second every day. I don't know if it's paid or free, or I forget. I got that thing so many years ago. I've been using it and they've really blown up since I kind of got on. I've been doing it for a couple of years.
OneSE.co is the website.
Yes, sir.
It's on Apple. And it's free. It's on Apple. Perfect? And it's on Google Play Store. It's free. It says awesome. 1 second every day video diary.
So cool. Anyone listening to this should get that app. It's so great.
Literally, that's cool.
If you get it, bro, let me know. Because, like,
I will. I actually might. I might just start it tonight.
Sure, yeah.
But what was I going to say? I forget what I was going to say. Go ahead.
No, it's perfect. It's perfect. So kind of in that vein, Zach, I'm curious. If you could give, like, a little bit of advice or one piece of wisdom to either up-and-comers or our generation or just human beings at large, what would you say?
Be kind. That's all I got.
That's all you got. And that carries. That's all I got. Carries everybody.
In everything. People will remember you when you're nice. People will remember when you're, lack of a better term, an asshole, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's going to remember that. But everyone remembers the small things and everyone remembers when you're nice to them. But I just know, because obviously there's a lot of stuff where people have been just super nice to me and I just see that. Or like if I'm just, you know, looking out and I see like somebody being really rude, or like even one of my biggest pet peeves is when I held the door open for somebody and they don't say anything. not even a head nod, not even nothing, not even a wave or nothing. Just walk through the door.
Yes.
Like obviously there could be language barriers, right? You know, people couldn't, you know, maybe they just think I speak English because I'm, you know, in the United States or anything like that or whatever. But Like, I usually look at the person. I always go, "You're welcome." I always say it to them. Because it's like, you know, and then it'll imprint in their mind, be like, "Hey, I didn't say that." And next time they do, like, it's such a small thing to say thank you, right?
Sure.
Like, maybe that's just how we were raised, right? Like, to say thank you, "You're welcome," "Please," you know?
Yeah,
all or, that. "Man," right? Everything. It's just like kind of like how we were raised, but like, it throws people off when you say thank you, when you say please, when you say that stuff, because it's just a small thing, but like, you take it for granted. Like, there's so many small things that are just add up to being kind, you know?
Totally, totally. But
yeah, that's just my one piece of advice. It's free.
It's free. Great.
100% free.
Yeah, totally free. It's great. It comes from within. You can do it all the time, every day.
Yeah.
Zach, one of my biggest beliefs is that if we, as you know, if we live more gratefully, that we'll be happier. You're a grateful dude. You've echoed that sentiment throughout. What is it about being grateful that is so imperative in your life? And how do you tend to show that you're, or to live a grateful life? How do you tend to do that?
I feel like, obviously, I hate comparing to people. But obviously I'm thankful for my life because I haven't had as many hardships as other people, right? But that doesn't mean my hardships aren't as hard as somebody else's, right? They're different situations. Obviously living grateful is a big part because it's so draining just to like be miserable, right?
I think so too, bro.
Right. And it's like, that bounces off on other people. It's a small thing. Like if I'm having a bad day and I snap at somebody, they'll remember that. Maybe they'll be like mad and they'll do it to somebody else. And you know, it's just a snowball effect. So it's like one of the coolest things I learned with working like the normal, like high school jobs and stuff like that. I forget who told me this. I think it might've been one of my bosses. I can't really remember, but it's like, every customer you meet, that's the first time they're seeing you. Yeah, you might have seen like 200 plus customers that day, and you might be mad because you're like, you know, you're working overtime, you have a long shift, like it's not going your way. But that's the first time they're seeing you. So act like it's the first time you're seeing a customer in general. So like, that's, I feel like you can take that in every aspect. Like, yeah, you could be, let's just say you're hiring people, right? You know, and you've been doing 50 interviews in a day, or like maybe you want to record, you know, 3 podcasts in a day. And you get to that third one, you're really just drained. You're like, man, this sucks. Like, I really don't want to do it. If you have that mindset, then it's like, this podcast is going to suck, right?
Totally.
This interview is going to suck. This person's not going to want to work for me. This person's never going to come on my podcast again, or like this person's never going to come back to the store because I was just horrible to them. So yeah, just treat everyone as if it's the first person you've seen today or first person you ever met. Right.
Yeah. It's really wholesome advice out of your boss there. That's a great awareness thing. Yeah. You can apply that mindset to anything you do.
Mm-hmm. Literally anything, dude.
Absolutely anything. Zach, that's wonderful. So be kind and treat every person like it's the first person that you've encountered that day.
First time or last time?
Yeah, every time. And every time in between too.
Literally.
That's great. Zach, I'll tell you, it's been a real pleasure having you on today. Do you have any closing thoughts or any final little words or thoughts or anything that you want to share, ask, or do?
Yeah. So go ahead and subscribe down below. Hit that like button, whatever you're listening on. This guy's an absolute gem.
well, thank you.
I'm sure everyone knows that by now, but thank you, Joe, for having me. I appreciate it. I might have to become the co-host of these things. But
I love it.
Yeah.
Let's go, bro. Yeah, dude, I'm so glad to have you on. Like Zach said, everyone, please subscribe, whether you're listening on Apple or Spotify or straight out of Audio Boom. Shout out Audio Boom for the great providing content for me. And please, as always, have a great day. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of Chats with Clark.